All right. Good morning, Life Church. Good morning, those of you that are watching online. Let me just, before we get into the word this morning, just reiterate what Aaron said. He said something very important, that he did his Life School of the Bible first year training all the way from China, because all of those months last year, he spent the year because of work in China. And one of the things you may not know about Life School of the Bible is it comes in a different variety of formats. So we have students that are in the classroom with us, but every week live, we live stream what's going on in both our year one and year two classes. So that's kind of cool. So it's always fresh, brand new content. And then if people can't make the class that night, say they're not feeling well, say something has come up, they could watch it from their homes, maybe in the case of a weather event. There was a couple times last year because of weather, I was here in the classroom all by myself, and all the students were watching online, all right? Because they said it was okay for you to go out in it, but not us, right? But no, stuff like that happens, you know? Stuff comes up in life. You can watch it online that night, or you can watch the recording of it. Because after it's done live, it goes immediately to recording. You watch it anytime during the week. So it's a very flexible format. And I want to just encourage you, if you have never gone through Life School of the Bible, please invest in yourself. Invest in your own personal spiritual growth. It will be worth it, I tell you. And so you can sign up out underneath the TV. Registration is going on now. And then finally, I want to just make a pitch to you. This week, Pastor Kevin and Maria will be moving. And so on Thursday, they need help from men with their loading truck. They need to be able to load all the stuff in their house into the loading truck. And then on Friday morning, they're going to head down to Florida. And so if you have availability this week on Thursday, we would love it if you could help us in getting them all loaded up, packed up into that moving truck so they can make their big trip. So there is a sign-up sheet right out in the lobby at the event registration kiosk. And so go out there, all the information, any questions you need or have, they can answer for you there. But wouldn't it be a great big blessing if we could send a bunch of guys over there Thursday and just help them out and get that taken care of lickety-split? So we want to be able to bless the Kringles. All right, let's move into the message this morning. One day a boy was sitting on a park bench, and he was a young boy. He was probably 8 or 9 years old, and he was reading his Bible. And as he was sitting there reading, all of a sudden he erupted in this praise. I mean, he just started screaming in the middle of the park, "Praise God! God, you are so great! You are amazing! Hallelujah!" Well, while he's doing this, a young seminary student that happened to be in the park walks by him. And he looks at the young boy and he says, "What are you so happy about?" The little boy says, "Well, don't you know how great God is? I was just reading in my Bible and I discovered that God opened the Red Sea and he led the whole nation of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground." The young seminarian looked at the boy and he started to laugh at him. He thought for a moment and then he said to himself, "You know what? I'm going to open this boy's eyes to reality. I'm going to burst his bubble." And so that seminary student looked at that young boy and he said, "Son, don't you know that modern scholarship has already shown that the Red Sea was only 10 inches deep during that time of the year? That was no miracle for the Israelites to walk across the Red Sea. There were only 10 inches of water." And then he smiled and he turned around and he began to walk off. No sooner had he gotten 10 or 12 steps away from the boy, and once again, the boy erupted into shouts of praise. Only this time, he was even louder. "Praise God! Praise God! God is great!" Now the seminarian is intrigued. He turns around, he comes back. "What are you so happy about?" And the boy said to him, "Because God did a greater miracle than I ever thought possible. Not only did he lead the Israelites through the Red Sea, he drowned the entire Egyptian army in just 10 inches of water. Praise God!" Now, why do I share that story with you this morning? Because our lives are about perspective, aren't they? So much of life is about our attitude. It's about the mindset that we live it with. Today, we're going to kick off a brand new series. It's called Shape the Future. Last month, we talked all month long about how we can, as believers in a church, begin to surge into the community, into the region, begin to build momentum so that we become an unstoppable force. But I want you to know that the ability for us to surge is linked to the culture of our church. The word culture simply refers to this: the attitudes and behavioral characteristics of a group. The attitudes and behavioral characteristics of a group. In other words, to put it in the vernacular, it's what a group believes, not what they say they believe, but what they actually believe, and how they act. So this month, I want to talk about the life culture, or the culture of Life Church. Why is that important? Because the culture of an organization is what shapes its future. It's what shapes its destiny. Culture determines where we can go, and our culture as an organization determines how far we can go. So this month, I want to cast vision about the type of culture that we have at Life Church and we want to continue to create at Life Church. So there are five characteristics, I think, that define the culture of Life Church. Here they are. Number one, we want to be people who are naturally supernatural. Number two, we want to be people who foster a culture of honor at this church. Three, we want to be a people of authentic relationship. Number four, we want to be people of the presence. And finally, number five, we want to be people of excellence. And today I want to start off by talking about being people that are naturally supernatural. To do that, I want you to open your Bible this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 8, if you would. We're going to begin reading with verse 4. And what we're going to do is we're going to read Acts chapter 8, verse 4 and following. And then I'm going to go to a number of verses that I want to share with you. You're probably not going to be able to keep up, but you can mark them down and you can read them later, okay? Because I want to set the stage for what I want to talk to you about this morning. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says this: "But the believers were scattered, and they preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria, and he told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently because they were eager to hear Philip's message and see the miraculous signs that he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed." Now get this, verse 8. "So there was great joy that broke out in that city." Now Mark chapter 16, verses 7 and 8 says this: "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. For they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed." Acts chapter 6, verse 8: "And Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people." Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus speaks to the 72 that he sends out, and he gives them this instruction: "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, and give as freely as you have received." And finally, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, "For I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you shall walk upon snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." Now, all of those scriptures that I've read to you this morning have one thing in common, and here it is. They show us a picture of what the normal Christian life is supposed to look like. Now, some of you are sitting there, and already the question has popped into your mind: wait a minute, what do you mean the normal Christian life? Those scriptures are talking about signs, wonders, miracles, healing, deliverance. And you might be tempted to think in your natural mind this morning, those things aren't normal. But according to the Bible, miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance are all supposed to be normal occurrences for believers. And they were certainly normal occurrences for the believers in that day. Most people in the church view the supernatural as the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Think about it. Most people, when a miracle occurs, see that miracle as being abnormal. They're surprised, right? Oh, wow, a miracle, rather than seeing it as normal. And I think that's one of the reasons in the church today that we see so few signs, wonders, healings, and miracles, especially in America. Because when you go overseas, they are all over the place. God is doing amazing things. But New Testament believers had a different mindset than we have. They believed that signs and wonders were a normal part of the Christian life. In fact, here's how they put it. They expected the Holy Spirit to show up. Did you expect the Holy Spirit to show up when you came today? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you expect the Holy Spirit to show up and do signs, wonders, and miracles. You see, as Pentecostals, we believe in the supernatural, don't we? That's a part of our mantra. As Pentecostals, we're filled with God's Spirit and we believe in the supernatural. But I find that we believe mostly in the supernatural intellectually, up here in our mind. We believe that signs and wonders can happen, but most of the time, we don't see the manifestation of signs and wonders. They never do happen. You might be asking yourself, well, why is that? Well, Mark chapter 16, verse 7, a verse that we read says this. Signs and wonders will accompany anyone who what? Believes. In the Greek, that last portion reads this way. Signs and wonders will accompany anyone who constantly and continually believes. That's a difference. Who constantly and continually believes. In other words, signs and wonders don't automatically follow us because we're believers. We have to activate those signs and wonders. We have to constantly and continually believe in our hearts that they will occur. Why? Because the Word of God says they will. And so I find that those people who regularly see miracles are those who regularly expect to see miracles. Do you get that this morning? The problem is that most Christians, I believe, have adopted a very passive mindset when it comes to the supernatural things of God. A passive mindset that kind of goes like this. Well, you know, I'll pray and whatever will be, will be. People who see miracles don't have a passive mindset. They have an aggressive mindset. An aggressive mindset toward the supernatural says this. I believe that God will show up and that God will do the miraculous. Do you see the difference in mindsets? One is passive, one is aggressive. Continuous, constant belief is the critical component to seeing God do the supernatural. Because the Bible tells us that signs and wonders will follow anyone who believes. It says they will. It doesn't say they might. It doesn't say every once in a while they will. It says signs and wonders what? Will follow those that who believe. Now, the word for sign in Greek is very interesting. It's the Greek word semion, which refers to the signature that would be placed on a document to guarantee its authenticity. So whether it was a king, whether it was an important government official, a document wasn't authentic, it wasn't official until their signature was on it. The Greek word for sign is signature. So it means this, signs and wonders are literally the signature of God that authenticates to unbelievers that what we are proclaiming to them is true. Isn't that awesome? Signs and wonders are God's signature. That's why being naturally supernatural, that's why walking in the power of the Holy Spirit are so critical to reaching lost people and transforming communities. Think about it. When the power of God manifests in a place, people take notice, don't they? If you go into work tomorrow and you pray for someone who's really, really sick and instantaneously they're healed, do you think that will get the attention and the notice of your coworkers? Well, sure it will. Because those kinds of things are meant to be signs and wonders. Signs that make you wonder, God must be real, right? How else are people going to distinguish our message as believers, our message about the hope we have in Jesus Christ from all the other messages that are out there? Because the New Agers, they've got their message. The Hare Krishnas, they've got theirs. The Buddhists, the Muslims. And you can go right down the line, the humanists. Right? How do we distinguish God's message from their message? There is only one way I know of, through a demonstration of the power of God through signs and wonders. Do you realize that when those verses that we just read were written, The early believers were living in a culture that had millions of gods. Not hundreds, millions. Throughout the Roman Empire, millions of gods. So the challenge for the early New Testament church was, how could they prove that Jesus was the one true God? Well, it was by demonstrating the power of God through signs and wonders everywhere they went, into every city, into every synagogue, into every home, into every marketplace. Today, we're honoring two ladies who have ministered amongst us in signs and wonders. Why? Because they constantly and continually have believed God's word to be true, and that is Pastor Bev and Pastor Evelyn. They have been amazing. What they have seen in their ministry is incredible, right? But in reality, it shouldn't take us by surprise, because the Bible says this is the way all of our lives should be. That this is the normal Christian life that they've modeled before us. It would be easy to think, well, what are we going to do now because they're leaving us? Well, you know what? There's only one Pastor Bev. There's only one Pastor Evelyn. We can't go out and replace them because God has only made one of each of them, right? There's only one. But as I say that, let me remind you something. We can't replace you either, because God only made one of you. And you have a destiny on your life. You have purpose to your life. You have been called to do something for God. Now, when I think of that scenario, immediately my mind is drawn to the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus is standing there one day with the disciples, and he's talking to them, and they're talking to him, and they're having a grand old time, when all of a sudden his feet begin to lift off the ground. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples for a moment. As they're watching Jesus lift off the ground and get higher and higher, and they're standing there, and they're watching him go. And they have no idea what's happening. This is taking them by surprise. Up, 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 and they just stand there. And they watch him go through the clouds. Now, if you look at the context of that passage, they must have been standing there gazing into the clouds for a long time after Jesus went through them. Because finally, God has to send an angel down to earth. And the angel said, what are you gazing at? What are you standing around doing? Why did he have to say that to them? Because those 12 men must have been thinking to themselves, what are we going to do now? Jesus is gone. And the angel had to remind them that what they were going to do was they were going to take everything that Jesus had imparted and deposited into them, and they were going to go and do the works of Jesus. Because remember, said, greater works will you do, that's for all of us, than I did. Isn't that awesome? Jesus said you would do greater things than he did. That day, 12 men made a decision that they were going to believe Jesus, that they were going to do the works that he did. And history records that those 12 men changed the world. That's what we're going to do. Pastor Bev and Evelyn have demonstrated us simply what the normal Christian life looks like. They have deposited teaching into this body of believers, and now it's up to us and go and do. You see, the great misnomer is that God is looking for a man of our power for the hour, a woman of power for the hour. But God is not. He is really looking for ordinary people like you and me who will constantly and continuously believe that God can and will flow through us supernaturally to perform signs and wonders. Because signs and wonders are not for a few spiritually elite elect saints that have somehow attained to a certain level of holiness. When I read the scripture, it says signs and wonders will accompany everyone and anyone who will believe. Doesn't it say that? Obviously not, because you're not saying anything. Does it say that? Everyone and anyone. The anyone is you. The anyone is me. In Mark, it says signs and wonders will accompany anyone who believes. The word accompany means this: to walk alongside of as a faithful companion. That means the Holy Spirit, as you step out in faith, is going to come and walk alongside of you every day of your life as a faithful companion, making all this possible. The question is this: are we willing to believe, are we willing to embrace a mindset that says, I am naturally supernatural, and Jesus wants to flow his power through me. Not so-and-so across the sanctuary, but through me, right? Signs and wonders are not supposed to be the exception in our lives, but a normal, everyday occurrence in our lives. That's the message for today. We are to be naturally supernatural. So are you expecting miracles? You see, it's not about our ability. We don't have any ability in us whatsoever to perform one single miracle. It's about our trust. It's about our belief in what Jesus said that he would do in this book right here. Amen? We stand on the word of God, because if we don't stand on the word, we have nothing else to stand on. We simply are called to believe what Jesus said. I find that whatever I agree with in my life, I empower. That means that if I agree with unbelief in my life, I empower it. If I agree with fear, I empower it. If I agree with doubt, I empower it. If we agree as Christians with the philosophy that says miracles are the exception to the rule rather than the rule, then guess what? We empower that bad philosophy, we will not see the supernatural happen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said these words, I give you authority. That means that we've got to start agreeing with Jesus that he's given us authority. Authority over what? He said authority over all the enemy and everything the enemy brings against people and over sickness and disease and death itself. See, the New Testament church was filled with ordinary believers who were simply holding onto the hand of an extraordinary God, right? I deliberately today chose the scriptures I did because none of them were about the apostles. Because I didn't want you to leave here saying, well, yeah, he preached about that, but that was the apostles, of course. You know, they're way up here and I'm way down here. And of course, they did miracles and they did signs and wonders. No. Every one of these scriptures was related to normal people within the early New Testament church. Philip was one of those men. Philip was selected out of the Jerusalem church to oversee the feeding of orphans and widows. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? They were having a problem, so they said, find a spirit-filled man and let's put him over the widows and orphans. That was Philip. Now, here's what you need to know about Philip. Philip wasn't an apostle. Philip was a layperson. And you know where Philip worked? You know what his ministry was? It was the food pantry. Yeah, look it up for yourself in Acts. He headed up the food pantry. But here's the thing. As people were getting food, it says that miracles were happening through him. And so a little later on, Jerusalem falls under persecution, and all the believers have to scatter throughout the Roman Empire. And so Philip, when he scatters, it says everywhere he went, signs and wonders accompanied him. I think that's awesome. Then you have the 72 that Jesus sent out. They were normal people. They were lay people. And everywhere they went, the scripture said, we read it, signs and wonders followed them. By the way, let me define for you this morning what being naturally supernatural means. It simply means this, that we act normally when we interact with people. It means we operate in the supernatural works of God in a very natural way. We don't, all of a sudden, when we start operating in signs and wonders, we don't change our personality. We don't become something that we're not. We remain ourselves the way God wired us. We don't all of a sudden start acting weird when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on us. We allow the power of God to flow through us naturally. That's what Pastor Kevin has taught in this house for years and years, that we are powerful, spirit-filled believers, but we don't act weird, right? The world has enough weirdness. But we've all met people who get weird. All of a sudden, their voice changes, right? You know, they're in the middle of the supermarket, and they feel led to pray for someone that's like, thus saith the Lord, hallelujah, boom, and they hit someone on the head or whatever. Now, you know, there are great revival services that have been over the years and people get exuberant and I've probably gotten exuberant and all that. But let me tell you, that doesn't work in a supermarket. We need to be supernaturally natural. Just be who God wired you to be. Let it flow out of you naturally. Does that make sense? So let me mention several barriers today that will prevent us from being naturally supernatural people. Number one is our expectations. There's an old saying, it goes like this, you get what you expect, right? Our level of expectancy will affect the flow of the supernatural in our lives. So we have to ask ourselves this one simple question. What is my personal level of expectancy with God? I find that many times people have very low expectations of God. Why? Because they don't want to be disappointed. So if I keep my expectations low, then my disappointment will be lower when God doesn't answer, right? Or they keep their expectations low because they don't want to look foolish, or they don't want to feel like a failure if they pray for somebody and nothing happens. Second reason that people hold low expectations is because they're ignorant about the power and the authority that they've been given by Jesus. See, when we don't understand our power and authority, here's what we do. We settle for and we accept things into our lives that we were never meant to accept, which leads to a culture of mediocrity. Gang, I don't want to accept less than what God wants to give me. Do you? And I don't want to give to other people less than what God wants to give them. So that means that I've got to get my expectation level up. Here's the clue that people have settled. When you hear someone say something like this, well, I guess it's just God's will that I fill in the blank. I guess it's just God's will that I fill in the blank. Low expectations prevent the manifestation of the supernatural. Number two, fear will do the same thing. The number one question when we talk about the supernatural of people is this, well, what if I pray and nothing happens? How many of you like to be embarrassed? Yeah, I don't see a hand in this room. No one wants to be embarrassed. So what do? Our fear causes us to play it safe. But how many of you know that miracles don't happen when we play it safe? Because play it safe is code for don't pray. We have to change our mindset from what if nothing happens to what's going to happen when God does this miracle. There has to be that excitement in our soul. By the way, if you never pray for anyone, you will never see anyone get healed. You'll have a 100% success rate in the wrong direction. And that's what the enemy wants. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus said this, I'm giving to you the keys of the kingdom. What does a key do? It unlocks or it locks a door, right? Locks or unlocks something. The holder of that key determines what happens. Jesus has given us the power and the authority to open doors to the miraculous for people. But when we walk in fear, the opposite happens. The keys stay in our pocket, and those doors remain locked for people to experience the miraculous. Let's not do that. We have to get over the what if nothing happens question. Why? Because our responsibility is twofold. My responsibility is to pray, and it's to believe like crazy. It is God's responsibility to do the miracle, because I can't do it. And if I pray and I'm believing and nothing happens, that's on him. But that can't stop me. That can't stop my faith from continuing to pray and believe. Because a fear of failure will stop the supernatural. The third thing that will stop it is our mind. It's that thing right between our ears. I have a question for you this morning. Are we supposed to, as Christians, operate from our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions, or are we supposed to operate from our spirit? Which is it? Yell it out to me. Yeah, we're supposed to operate from our spirit, right? But how many Christians are really operating from their spirit? The problem is that our mind always wants to be in control, right? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we should check our brains at the door when we become Christians. God doesn't want that. He created us with a mind that needs to be used. It needs to be developed. I could go to a lot of scriptures that talk about that. But I could also take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul tells us something that's incredibly important, that our minds need to be renewed. It says this, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, the renewing of your mind. What Paul is saying is that our minds love to operate in the natural world. Our minds love to focus only on what can be seen. But God is calling us today to operate in the spirit, to focus on the invisible world, that which cannot be seen. So when we allow our mind to be in control of our life, it tells us this. That situation is impossible. Why does it tell us that? Because our mind can only see the natural. It can only rely on what it can see. But when we begin to operate in the Spirit, get this, all things now become possible because we're operating in God's reality in the spiritual realm. Isn't that cool? Now, you have heard a lot about the word repentance if you're a believer. What does the word repentance actually mean? It means to change your way of thinking. That's all it means. That's the key to operating in the supernatural. We've got to change our way of thinking. I love what Pastor Bill Johnson says. He says, most Christians change their way of thinking enough to be forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom manifest miracles. Think about that. Gang, what happens when we don't change our thinking? Well, we begin to believe that the natural realm is greater than the spiritual realm. That's a lie. The spiritual realm, the reality of God, is greater than what you can see. Remember that. And then the final barrier is unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says this, and Jesus could do no miracles in Nazareth because of their lack of faith and unbelief. Unbelief always inhibits the supernatural, because belief is the key to discovering the superior nature of the invisible realm. Belief, or faith in God, is what enables us, get this, to pull the reality of God's unseen kingdom, which is in heaven, right, into the natural world here on earth. Did you get that? Faith or belief allows us to reach up into heavens and grab what is there and pull it down to earth so it manifests here. That's why in 1 Colossians chapter 3, or in Colossians 3, 2, Paul said these words, set your mind on things that are where? Above, not on things below on earth. Because he's contrasting the invisible with the visible. God longs for us. He longs for his children to start seeing the world through spiritual eyes rather than physical eyes. Because when you start seeing your world through his eyes, everything becomes possible. By the way, what is unbelief? Unbelief is putting your faith in something other than God. Unbelief is putting your faith in your bank account, in your employer, in your spouse, in your abilities or intellect or talent or whatever it may be. Unbelief is rooted and anchored in what I can do. Can I say this? Most of the stuff that churches are doing in America today could be accomplished without God, because those things are rooted in unbelief. They're not rooted in faith and belief. True faith and belief is anchored in the unseen realm and what only God can do. So we do a lot of things in the church today that is rooted in what we can do, not what God can do. It's important to understand that real faith and real belief is also not rooted in a denial of the natural realm. Did you hear that? To believe in the invisible realm doesn't mean we deny the natural realm. If you go to the doctor and the doctor says you have a tumor, it's silly to deny that it's there. It's silly to look at him and say, no, it's not there. That's not our response. Our faith response is this. I believe that the spiritual realm is way more powerful than the natural realm of sickness. Therefore, God will heal me. See, it doesn't do me any good to deny what's in the natural. I overcome the natural because I believe that the invisible, that the spiritual, is greater than the natural. I believe that God will heal. Therefore, our spirit needs to lead our mind, not the other way around. Did you get that? Your spirit needs to lead your mind, not your mind leading your spirit. For it's through faith and belief that we pull that reality of heaven into the earthly realm. Remember this, heaven is not moved by need, it's moved by faith and belief. If heaven were moved by need, then we'd see all kinds of miracles, right? Because there are all kinds of needs in this room and as we step outside of this room. But heaven is not moved by need, it's moved by faith and belief. People who will constantly and continually believe that God's word is true. We also have to understand that faith is not wishful thinking. Have you ever heard someone say something like this? Well, I hope God does this, or I hope God does that, right? Get that out of your vocabulary. Faith is a belief that says, I know God will do this. How do I know it? Because it tells me in His Word. Are we not people of the Word, right? So it's not about wishful thinking. That's not faith. Well, I hope God. No. Faith says, I know that God will do it. I know that He's a good provider. I know that He's a healer. I know that He's a deliverer. By the way, faith doesn't require me to understand everything that God does, because the how is God's part. My part is simply to believe. So as I close this morning, I want you to know that at Life Church, we want to continue to foster a culture that believes that we are a naturally supernatural people who believe that signs and wonders are a normal part of the Christian life. Can you say amen to that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 20 through 21 says it so well. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. I want to ask you this morning, which are you going to choose, talk or power? The world says, we've heard the church talk enough. We want to see the power. That means it's up to us to believe so that the supernatural manifests everywhere we go. Because if we want to see transformation in people's lives, if we want to see transformation in the cities around us, we're going to have to live out being a naturally supernatural people. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? So, Holy Spirit, we just bring ourselves before You. And I ask that You would come right now, and I ask that You begin to speak to us, Holy Spirit. And I ask that You would begin to minister. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to just ask you this. Is there some part of your mindset that needs to change in regard to the supernatural? Maybe you came in here this morning and you've had low expectations because you didn't want to be disappointed. You didn't want to be embarrassed. Maybe you came in here this morning and fear grips you every time the Holy Spirit says, pray for that person, because you don't want to fail. Maybe you've wrestled with unbelief in your life, and all those things have been keeping you from walking and living in a greater dimension of the supernatural. You can change that. You can change that today. You can say, Lord, no longer will I cower to low expectations and wrong mindsets and fear and unbelief, but I'm going to believe what You have said in Your Word. I'm going to agree with You, Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, do you want signs and wonders to follow you? Because the Bible says if you want it, if you believe, they will. And so just ask the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I want signs and wonders to accompany my life. I choose to believe You today. And what I'd like us to do is all of us together are going to recite a confession. This is going to be our confession at Life Church when it comes to the supernatural. And so if you would just repeat this prayer after me, this is our declaration to God. I confess that signs and wonders follow me. I am intensely hungry to see the miraculous, and I am constantly believing for it to manifest. Since everything in the kingdom of God is activated by faith and belief, I release my faith right now for supernatural signs to be manifested in my life. I will constantly believe for the miraculous to happen. I expect signs and wonders in my life that authenticate God's word and supernaturally meet the needs of those I encounter. Amen. And now, Lord, that's our declaration today as Life Church, that we believe that signs and wonders will accompany, will follow those that believe. Lord, make us your naturally supernatural people, because we've got a great work to do. And you said that we would do greater things than you did. Lord, there is a city to reach. There is a city to transform. And God, we want you to use us to do it. And so help us. Help us, Lord, as we take our steps of faith and belief. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we want to spend the last portion of this service honoring and saying thank you to two women that I've already mentioned have had an incredible impact through their lives and their ministries on this church and on this region. Pastor Evelyn Gibson and Pastor Bev Tucker. For the last 15 years and 16 years respectively, these two women have served at Life Church. And they've really been the embodiment of what I've just preached about. They have laid the foundation of supernatural ministry here at Life Church through their ministries of healing and deliverance. And today it is an honor for us to recognize them for their many years of ministry in this house and region. I've already said several things about them in this message, but I just want to say this publicly, that Life Church wouldn't be what it is today without your ministries, Pastor Evelyn and Pastor Bev. We want you to know that both of you will be greatly missed. And as God enables us, we're going to build on the foundation that the two of you have laid to continue the ministry of being supernaturally natural and seeing lives changed. This morning, we're going to start by sharing three videos from people whose lives your ministry have touched. Here they are.
Good morning, Life Church, and good morning, Pastors Bev and Evelyn. Marie and I wanted to stop and take a moment and just thank the two of you for so many years of faithful service to Life Church. Things that people have seen, things that people have not seen, where you've gone to hospitals and homes and prayed with people through the night, to where you came over to our home when Isaiah was first born, and you would pray with him weekly, pray trauma out of his life, pray for healing, believing God for things. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times you've stepped into our lives and into People of Life Church's life to be there, to pray, to be that voice of faith and encouragement, to stay the course and to not quit. I know there's a lot of people in that room today that they've drawn on your faith so many times. And we just had to say thank you. We just had to say, well done, good and faithful servants. Not that you're finished your time at Life Church. The chapter is changing, but I know the Lord has other opportunities and other assignments for you both. And we couldn't be more proud to call you friends. And we couldn't have been more blessed and transformed by teachings you brought into our lives, because we were listening as well as the anointing on your lives. And so we wanted to say thank you and that we love you.
Hey, Pastor Bev. Just really gonna miss you. I'm just glad I got to say a few words. Gonna really miss your presence. I really appreciate everything that you did for me, for my family. You know, I just remember how hard it was for me when I first got to this church, and just how you did what you do best and ministered and just blessed me and delivered me, believed in me more than I believed in myself, and always believed what God was doing in me, you know. And I'm so thankful. The change in me, the change in my daughter, the change in my husband, you know, it's God, but a lot of it was through you. So Definitely gonna miss you. Thank you. Love you dearly.
Hey, Pastor Evelyn. Wow. Just thinking about you and all that's gone on in the 25 years or so we've known each other. So excited for the days ahead for you. And just thinking back, like, over the impact you've made on my life and in so many lives here at not only this church, but churches around the Northern Illinois area. One of the biggest things I just remember looking back is my early Christian walk, you know, reading the Word of God and seeing things that just weren't in the church that we saw in the Word. And I remember when I met you and you were teaching a class and I was in the back, just immediately thinking, wow, this person really knows the Lord, really loves the Lord, really knows the Word, loves people. And that was transformational. It was the missing piece. I think you really helped me see God much more clearly. And that's such an incredible legacy that you've poured into not only my life, but the lives of hundreds, probably thousands of people over the years. And I'm so grateful for that. So thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us here at Life Church. We're super excited for the days ahead for you. Whatever the Lord's gonna do in you and through you is gonna be unbelievable. So don't go too far away. We wanna stay connected and see all that God's doing in your life, because you mean that much to us and we know big things are gonna happen. Hey, God bless you. We love you so much.
If Crystal would join me on the platform this morning, and can we welcome Pastor Evelyn Gibson and Pastor Bev Tucker up on the stage as well. So last night in the service, each service, we've given them a different gift. And so last night, we had beautiful flowers for them. In the first service, so that you will know, they were given boxes with watches in them. And on the back of the watches, there was an inscription from us at Life Church thanking them for their years of service. We wanted to give them something that they could hold on to, that they could remember, that they have a church family here that loves them and appreciates all they've done for them over the years. And so as they wear those watches, that'll be a reminder of this Life Church family. And then this morning, Crystal, if you would just give them. And so this morning, the last thing we have for you is some gift certificates that you can use that hopefully will just be a blessing to you guys this morning. And we just wanted to bless you in this way for all your years of service. This morning, I'm going to ask Graciela Hale and Cherry Casper if they would come. And I've asked people that have been involved in the ministries of these ladies to come and offer prayers on behalf of both Pastor Bev and Pastor Evelyn this morning. And I'm going to ask that you agree with us in prayer that God will take all of the time, all the effort, all the energy, all the resources that they have sown into people's lives, that they have sown into this church over all of these years, and that God will literally multiply it back to them in blessing. Could we agree for that this morning? As we're praying for many, many different things for them, but that's one of the things that's on my heart this morning, that they will just be blessed. And so, Sherry, we're going to start with you this morning, if you would pray over Pastor Evelyn. Would you just extend your hands out as we pray for her this morning?
Father, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this mighty, powerful woman of God. Father, I thank you for her faithfulness. I thank you, God, that you are starting a new journey and a new chapter in her life. And God, I thank you that you said that a good woman's steps are ordered by the Lord. So, Father, I thank you that with each step you reveal to her, Father, what your plans and purposes are for this next chapter in her life, God. I thank you for the powerful way that she's ministered to all of us, and I think I can speak for every person in this room. that you have touched our lives. You have blessed our lives. We thank you for that. I put the blood of Jesus over you. I call supernatural strength into your body as you carry out this journey. And God, I put the 91st Psalm over her and her family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I want to take a minute. I know I'm supposed to pray, but these two ladies have been in my life for 30-some years, 36, I think, Bev and Evelyn a little bit later, and I have sat under both their teachings. I have been ministered to personally, my family, all of them, including my younger daughter. They have come in the middle of the night, during the day, anytime that I call them, they've been there for me. And one of the most important things that I have learned from them is to stand, fight, pray. And I know, and you cannot move me, the prayer doesn't work. I have learned that watching them. And I have also observed how they've ministered to all the people of this church, this nation even. And I'm so thankful for these two women. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and honor this woman of God right now. I thank you, Lord, for who she is, for who she is as a woman of God, as a woman of word, a woman who is not swayed but stands firm on your word and knows. I thank you, Father God, and I decree and declare that miracles and wonders will increase as she follows her the path that you had for her, for you have a future for her. I pray for wisdom and discernment as she goes forth into this new season, for this is a new fresh start once again for her. Father God, I call in a harvest for her also. I see a harvest of plenitude for her, a harvest of miracles, a harvest of increase, and I decree and declare a new level of anointing for this woman of God, and I thank you for her, and we bless her in the name of Jesus.
We thank you for these women, Lord, who you raised up these years. God, we just pray that everything, as I said a moment ago, everything that they've sown into others, everything they invested into this house, this region, will now be multiplied back to them. I agree with Graciela's prayer, Lord, for harvest for them, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing that they can't even contain. Do it in all kinds of forms, all kinds of ways, God. I pray that their needs will be met in every arena of their lives. We pray, Lord Jesus, for their families. We thank you, God, for those that have allowed them to minister because they don't minister alone. So we thank you for Roy, Lord, and his willingness to let Pastor Evelyn minister at all times of the day and night and to be such a great support. We pray, God, for Lou, who has now passed on, and his willingness to walk alongside of Pastor Bev and to co-teach with her, Lord, and co-labor with her and as a great team. And so, Lord, we just bless them as well. So, God, today, we just say, bless these women. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. One more time, would you show your appreciation for these ladies?